This is going to finish up the direction I'm working today. So I'd like to finish it today, and then I'll be doing something else the week after next. So repeat after me. Sarvatmatvamiti.
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 Sputi kritamidam.
Sputi kritamidam.
Do you recognize that, Virginia? Sputi kritamidam.
Sputi
kritamidam. What's wrong? You pronounce it after me.
Okay. We're watching your mouth.
Well, I'm watching what Virginia was supposed to see.
No, because we have a class on Friday, and there's just a construction that we went over.
Got
so
it.
I was just spooty kratam,
like
right?
Being like something or doing like something.
Yeah, making clear. Spooty kratam.
Spooty kratam.
Spooty kratam.
Spooty kratam.
Idam.
Idam.
Yasmat.
Yasmat.
Amushmin stave.
Amushmin stave.
Amushmin.
Amushmin. Why?
Oh no, we're going to get the giggles. Don't get me started. Okay. Starting.
I'm a laughing man.
Yasmad.
Yasmad.
Yasmad. Amushmin stave.
Yasmad. Amushmin stave.
Yasmad. Amushmin stave.
Yasmad.
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 Yasmad. Amushmin stave.
Yasmad amushmin shave.
Tenasya.
Tenasya.
Shravanat.
Shravanat.
Tadartha.
Tadartha.
Mananad.
Mananad.
Dhyanat.
Dhyanat.
Dhyanatcha.
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 Sankirtanat.
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 Sarvatmatva.
Sarvatmatva.
Mahavibhuti.
Mahavibhuti.
Sahitam.
Sahitam.
Syadishwaratvam.
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 Say syad.
Syad.
Syadishwaratvam.
Syadishwaratvam.
Swataha.
Swataha.
Siddhyet.
Siddhyet.
Tat punarashtada.
Tat punarashtada.
Paranitam.
Paranitam.
Chaishwaryam.
Chaishwaryam.
Avyahatam.
Avyahatam.
Aishwaryam avyahatam.
Aishwaryam avyahatam.
Say Chaishwaryam.
Chaishwaryam.
Avyahatam.
Avyahatam.
Okay, now I'll teach this and we'll chant it when we do it for our class. Let's take a break now. Okay. I'm going to read this with a sandhi, okay? Sarvatmatvam iti. Actually, you can repeat. Sarvatmatvam iti.
Sarvatmatvam iti.
So it's sarvatmatvam iti, if I really break it. Sarva means all. Sarva atma tva. That tva is the abstract, the state of being the self of all. You can just say with a tvam, tvam equals ness. Like if I said cold, it cold versus coldness, you know? Cold versus being cold or coldness, the state of cold, of being cold or coldness. That's the tva or ta. So sarvatmatvam is like the nature or the state of being the atma, the self of all. So you have sarva means all, atmatva, being the self of all. So sarva atmatvam, being the self of all. Iti. Iti puts that in quotes, sarvatmatvam. So, being the self of all, iti thus. Sputi kritam. Sputa The word sputa means clear. It's also like a sputika is a crystal. A sputa, sputa means clear, something that is clear. So sputi kritam is just a Sanskrit formation, and it means that which is made clear. Krita means it has been made, past passive participle. That which has been made clear as sarvatmatvam. So we'll put this together, but just idam means this. It's a pronoun. So this. So just take idam as this. So sputi kritam. It was made clear. Idam this. Yasmat. See that? Yasmad. Mm-hmm. In Sunday, when I do the Sunday, it's yasmat. Yasmat means because. Because, or sometimes you say since, you know, in the sense of because. Since this happened, because this happened. So yasmat. It's fifth case, or yed, yasmat, ablative. Amushmin. Amushmin comes from one of those, what is it, idam or etat or something, it means this, in this, locative singular. Stave. Stave means, again, locative, amushmin stave, in this stotra, means in the Dakshinamurti stotra, in this, in these verses, in the stotra, in this song, in this particular text. So, amushmin stave in the stotra means the Dakshinamurti stotra, all of these verses on Dakshinamurti. So, yasmat, because, or since, amushmin stave, since, in this stotra, in this Dakshinamurti stotra, in this text, amushmin stave, idam, going backwards, this has been made clear. That's so. If I say sputi kritam, it says, just starting with sputi kritam, yasmat, since this has been made clear, sputi kritam made clear, idam this, yasmat, since or because this has been made clear in this stotra, in this stava, in this prayer. You see that? Mm-hmm. What has been made clear? Now he puts in quotes what has been made clear. Being the self of all. So you say, since being the self is of all has been made clear in this stotra. That's how we'd say it in English. Since in this stotra, in this Dakshinamurti stotra, amushmin stave, idam this, quotes, being the self of all, sarva atmatvam, sputi kritam, has been made clear. In other words, now you know it. We've been through this. We've taught you the whole thing. Now you have this Dakshinamurti, you know what it means. Okay? That's the idea in the first sentence. So since this has been made clear in this stava, we've been through it now, we're on the last verse. Everybody see? Then, tena. Tena is from tut in the third case, the instrumental singular. And in the instrumental singular, it can be used as therefore or due to, you know. So it can mean by that, due to that, because of that, by means of that. This is all instrumental. So you can also just say therefore. And since we have yasmat, because or since, tena, therefore, right? Since this happened, therefore, tena, by that, because of that, asya. Asya is the genitive singular of ayam or something, of the meaning this. Of this, then shravanat. So see the tena, asya. If I break it, tena, asya, of this. The asya is going back to the Dakshinamurti stotra, the stava. So therefore, of this, shravanat. Fifth case, at, like ramat, shravanat. Therefore, from shravana, of this. Everybody remember what shravana means?
Fade.
Huh? Fade. Shravana means, you know, shravana, manana, nididhyasana. From shravana means you're hearing it, from the hearing of this, but it's technical. It means from the teachers unfolding the meaning of the Upanishads. That's shravana. So that when your shravana means you're hearing it. Why we say shravana is because this is an oral tradition And you can't just get it by going off, you know, into a corner and studying it on your own. You have to hear the Upanishad unfolded traditionally according to the means of knowledge. So we'd say from the Shravana, through the mouth of the Upanishads, through the mouth of the teacher teaching the Upanishads. So from the listening to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listening means because it's an oral tradition. And the Shravana, as differentiated from the Manana, is you're hearing from the teacher the unfoldment of the Upanishad, what the vision of the Upanishad is. Right? So you're exposing yourself to the vision of the Upanishads as unfolded by the teacher. So from the listening of this, from the doing the Shravana for of this, Tad Artha Mananat. See the next one? Tad Artha Mananat. The fifth case again, reading backwards. Then, so you have Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. From the Manana, from doing the Manana of the meaning, the Artha of that, Tad of that, Artha meaning, of the meaning of that, Tad Artha Mananat. So from the reflection on the meaning of that. Now we have to remember Shravana. What is Manana? How does Manana differ from Shravana? Manana is after you understand, you grasp, because of the teacher unfolding the Upanishads according to Sampradaya, the method of teaching. So now you have that understanding, and then you say, yeah, but I don't think it's like that. You know, why couldn't it be like this? Why couldn't you see? And so you understand what the Upanishad says, and then you question whether what it says is true or not. Why couldn't it be like this instead of like that? And so Manana is the reflection on an analysis of the meaning of the Upanishads. But in order to do that, you have to...
I love that. I love that.
It's so pretty. Yeah, now, so you're going to start singing.
You're so grouchy in the morning.
So,
we could drop it in the bucket of water.
No.
No, it's no problem.
No.
Okay, listen, I want you to pay attention now. Okay. So, you have to do manana. You have to really do an analysis of the meaning of the Upanishads as it has been unfolded. You cannot... This is my big problem with academics, with most academic thinkers. This is the problem. Mm. Is that they want to do analysis on a subject matter before they understand the subject matter. You know, it's like doing analysis on the Upanishads, what the vision of the Upanishads, before they understand what the vision of the Upanishads is. It doesn't have to be Upanishads. It could be Buddhism. It could be any subject matter. You try to add your two bits to it before you know what they're talking about. Mm. And so manana means you do know what they're saying, and then you question it. That's manana. So why can't it be like this? The Upanishads say this. Why can't it be like this? And then there's this, what we call Purva Paksha Siddhanta, where another school or the other school in your own mind will bring up the Purva Paksha, an opposing view. Like, why can't there be many Atmas, for instance? Why just one Atma? Why can't there be many Atmas? Your own mind can bring up that question. So it's your own Purva Paksha, or a philosophical system can bring up that question, and that question has to be resolved through discussion, you know? And it has to be resolved to the point of you say, I understand, I see. Then that issue is over with. Then the mind or a different school of thought will bring up another. Well, it could be like this. This makes more sense to me. That has to be resolved. That's all through manana. So you understand the vision of the Upanishads, and then all of these other questions come up that say, I don't understand why it's that way. Why can't it be this way? That's manana. So from mananat, fifth case, from the analysis of the artha, of the meaning of that, of the meaning of what? Of what you have understood at the time of teaching. You know, asya shravanat. From doing shravana on that, then from doing analysis of the meaning of what you've seen at the time of Shravana. So you see that? Artha mananat tat, artha mananat, dhyanat cha, and from dhyana. Dhyana is nididhyasana, is meditation. Mm-hmm. So this, there is an order here. Shravana, these are, this is actually the sadhana for gaining knowledge. Shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Karma yoga, pranayama, all, there were many different sadhanas for gaining antakarana shuddhi, for gaining purity of mind, right? Many sadhanas. Like even the different Eastern disciplines, all of the things that you know, that you do so well, the kung fu and all, those are sadhanas. Those sadhanas, there's so many of them that we do, inner child work, these are all sadhanas for gaining, taking care of our own physical and emotional problems and gaining strength, gaining a mind that has a natural shanti, you know, relative shanti. That's for antakarana shuddhi. So those karma yoga, all of those things fall into those sadhanas for antakarana shuddhi, upasana also, where we're imagining our visualizations, all of those things, antakarana shuddhi. But the sadhana for knowledge is shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Right? You have to have a mind available for that. And so there's sadhana for antakarana shuddhi. It's called upaya nishta. Upaya nishta are those sadhanas that bring the upaya, the vehicle that you need to gain, to do shravana and manana, nididhyasana. The vehicle is your mind. So the upaya is the means. You have to bring the means into line so that you have a relative shanti that can then be exposed to this teaching. Say you don't have relative shanti, you're sitting in class and your mind's just everywhere else but in class, worried about this, worried about that, your feelings are hurt. It goes endless, you know. But all of those things means the mind's not available. So you need that. You need the means of knowledge. You need the sadhanas that help you to gain the relative shanti of mind. Dharma is one of the best, dharma and karma yoga. Without dharma, none of the others work. There's like an aspirin. Dharma is really the major sadhana for antakarana shuddhi. Mm-hmm. But you have that, then to gain knowledge is shravana, manana, nididhyasana, dhyanam. Now, dhyanam is the third. It comes last of the three because you can't meditate upon something that you don't know. Right? Like, say, if you say, I used this yesterday, I think it's Chaitanyoham. I am consciousness. But you don't know what consciousness means. You know? Or you're meditating to quiet your mind. Okay? You do pranayama, you do some asanas, you do some pranayama, and you do some japa, and you end up with a quiet mind. And so now you're sitting here with a quiet mind. And now you say, because I remember doing this when I was young, I was about 18, and I went to some teacher who'd come to L.A., and he was going to give everybody a mantra, and he gave me this mantra. I had no idea what the mantra meant, but that wasn't supposed to matter. So I went and I did the meditation, sitting there, Brahman, Brahman, this mantra, just repeating it, and my mind got quiet. And then, you know, I was sitting there with a quiet mind. And then my mind said, now what?
Yeah.
There's no jnanam. There's no knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, and so for us, nididhyasana is the mind resolving into the knowledge that you know. Like say you say, Ishwaroham, I am, or in English, you don't have to say in Sanskrit. You say, I am Ishwara. Now, if you don't know what that means, I am Ishwara, what is it? It's nothing. But if you know the meaning, then when you say that, the whole vision, everything that you've learned, is then what your mind is sitting in the reality of it. Not in the words. The words are pointing to the reality. That's why nididhyasana assumes understanding, you know? Or you're on your way to understanding, and then you sit with what you've understood at the time of teaching, and we use mantras like There's so many different anandoham. But what if you don't know what ananda means? What if you think ananda is just a state of experience that comes and goes? Then you're meditating on ananda. Please let the ananda come, you know? Let me have some ananda. That's not what ananda means. Ananda is the recognition of the nature of your being that is right here, right now, whose nature is ananda. So you have to understand what that ananda has to point to, ananda. And so, dhyana means, what do they say, dhyanat, again, fifth case, from dhyana, from nididhyasana. It means you're contemplating on what you have seen at the time of teaching, what you've realized. And then, it's interesting, it doesn't stop there. He says, so from shravana, from contemplation on the meaning of what you've seen at the time of shravana, and from contemplation, nididhyasana, on the vision itself, you know, that has been pointed out to you through the whole teaching, then from that dhyana, then sankirtanat. Sankirtanat, really it means from teaching it, from teaching, or from discussion, you know, talk, discussion in satsang. I mean, say a group of you are talking about it. So it's something which you're giving out, because you can be taking in, taking in, taking in. It's totally different, you know, when you start giving out. Even sankirtana can be writing.
Yeah? Where does it come from?
It comes from singing. Sankirtana, singing it well, talking about it well. Huh.
But at the well? Like at the...
Well. No. Like doing
talking
it well.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Talking about it in a good... Talking about it well.
Oh.
Do they use this word very often?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it almost...
It really means like teaching. Or...
Because sometimes when you actually speak it, you notice what you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You notice what you don't know, and
that's
also...
How you can describe it.
That's right, and it brings up where your holes are. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's also something really beautiful about us teaching, and that is that the student needs to know, and that pulls it out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that happens there in that teacher-student environment. It's like Bhagavan gives you some extra. It's like your student needs to know that. So here, since you're not so clear about it, here it is. Mm-hmm. So it gives you some extra. Yeah. So teaching or in discussion or even writing, all of that is very, very useful. So it's listed here. They talk about it also Panchadashi, chapter 7. You know, it's discussed also as something important, sadhana. So he lists it here.
Writing things down?
Well, yeah. Like, say you're not teaching. Like, I know that, like, Danya, for instance, does a lot of blogging online. And so then there's a whole online discussion in some of these blogs and these Vedanta sites. And so she gets involved in that. Mm. And that means it's pulling it out, you know. Mm-hmm. Like this person is saying this and she's responding to it. It pulls it out of you. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. You know? And then it makes your vagueness very clear because you start to unfold it and then you have a question. I used to call them like boulders. Your mind is just moving along and then it hits like a brick wall or a boulder, and eventually all the boulders have been removed and your mind just is moving like the wind, you know. But that's not so initially. It'll hit this, and then that's a place where manana or, you know, shravana or manana needs to be done to clear that. That's why this questioning is such an important part of the teaching. You know, it's not a matter of faith, you know. If it's a matter of faith, then I could just say, you just have to believe this. Just believe it. It's not something you can know. You just believe it. Take it on faith. In the East, they don't have this idea of taking it on faith. You know, it's Shraddha is faith pending understanding. Like faith pending understanding. So the Shraddha is only good for giving you whatever you need to listen clearly. Okay, so.
So what was this word again, so I can remember?
Sankirtanat. From, you know, teaching it, writing about it, engaging with it. Like they'll say, that's what you should be doing. Don't bother with anything else. You just do that.
Okay.
But the process is probably like circular, isn't
it? It is.
I mean, because there's always something that you realize you don't understand in the Upanishad, you have to question again and so on.
It is circular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is circular. Yeah. Like you'll be doing your, like when you're listening, you understand something, then say you teach it, or you're questioning your own mind and realize, well, that's not completely clear. Then you're going back to Shravana and you understand that again, and then your mind will go, well, yeah, but why couldn't it be like this? So they're all happening. But you also have to you have to kind of realize that if there's something that the Upanishad says that you don't understand, then you have to find out about that. Then if you find out about it and you don't agree with it, then you do manana on it, right? So Shravana has to do with understanding what it actually says. Manana has to do with not your doubts about what it says, but whether if it's your doubts about what it says, then that's Shravana. What does the Upanishad really mean here? What does it say? What does the Vedanta really say here? Manana is, I don't agree with that, or couldn't it be this way? See what I mean? But to say that, then you have to understand what it says. So you're either doing Shravana or Manana. And if you're doing Nididhyasana, it should be on something, you know, you've understood at the time of teaching. Even if you haven't understood it clearly, you are still sitting with it, you know. Anyway. Oh, you're discussing it. Let's go on. So from doing all of this, having understood it, having been clear, because it's been taught to you, then sarvatmatva, being the self of all, sarvatmatva, being the self of all, maha vibhuti is like a glory. Vibhuti is like all the wonders of the world are Ishwara's vibhuti, and they're like the glories. So the Mahavibhuti, the greatest glory or the greatest wonder, sahitam, together with. So this whole compound, sarvatmatva, Mahavibhuti, sahitam.
Sahitam
means together with, along with. Along with the great vibhuti, the great, and we don't have a good word for it in English, maha is great, or the great vibhuti, the great glory, sarvatmatva, of being the self of all. Right? So, let's look at this next one to get the meaning. Syat means is. Ishwaratvam, the state of being Ishwara, the state of being the Lord, being Ishwara. So you could say, being Ishwara, together with this great glory of being the self of all, sarvatmatva maha vibhuti sahitam syat ishwaratvam. So being Ishwara, along with the great, the maha vibhuti of being the self of all. Everybody see? Sarvatmatva maha vibhuti sahitam syat is ishwaratvam, being Ishwara. Swataha means just naturally, as one's own nature. Indeclinable, swataha, as one's own nature. Siddhyate, that's the verb. Means it is accomplished. What is accomplished? The state of being Ishwara, together with the great vibhuti of being the self of all, is naturally accomplished. Swataha siddhyate. Because it is who you are. It's not like, in the Bhasha they'll say, it's not like this is a prayatna, that this is some big effort you have to make. You have to make a big effort now to become Ishwara, and then to, you know, stretch your atma out to become the self of all, as though there's some effort involved. There is no effort involved. It is who you are. And so, once the Upanishad is seen, is recognized, then naturally, swataha, as your very being, you are Ishwara. The state of being Ishwara, along with being the self of all, is something which is naturally takes place. Natural is naturally accomplished. as being your own selves. What
because
the,
it already exists like that.
It already is like that. Just the agnanam is removed. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, everybody see that? Siddhyeta's potential third person singular is accomplished. Tat punar ashtada. And then again, ashtada parinatam. So, and this ashtada, it comes from way back in a previous verse. With, here in the first line, Ashtakam, where they said Bhagawan, the Ishwara, projects in that eightfold way, space, air, fire, water, earth, the Jiva, the sun, the moon, the Jiva. That's the Ashtada. So again and again, this creation projects in this eightfold way. It's just a way of dividing up the Ishwara into the five elements, the sun, the moon, and the Jiva. Again, that Parinatam, it transforms itself again and again, punar means again, into this, in this eightfold way. It means when the creation comes into manifestation, you have the five elements, you've got the sun, the moon, and the jiva, the jivas. So again, ashtada parinatam. Parinatam means Ishwara goes through this transformation again and again, coming into manifestation, going into resolution, manifestation, resolution. So it says, cha aishwaryam, the state of aishwaryam, okay, twam means an abstract, ta means an abstract also, aishwaryam also is the other form, there's three forms of abstract, aishwaryam again means the ishwaratvam, the state of being ishwara, right, avyahatam, unimpeded, without any limitation, comes again and again in this eightfold way. That's one way of taking it. Ashtada, eightfold way. Parinatam, it transforms, you know, manifests and goes into unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest. Avyahitam means without any obstruction. So, it says, you are Ishwara, right? You naturally accomplish the state of being Ishwara, who manifests again and again, punar, again, in this eightfold way, without any type of obstruction. You have no obstruction. There's nothing you need to do about that. That's how you are.
And all of the
vibhutis that are involved in Ishwara, in being Ishwara, are your vibhutis. Not the jiva's vibhutis, but they are your vibhutis, because they're Ishwara's vibhutis. And you are Ishwara. And there's nothing you need to do about that. You don't have to do any work to gain that Ishwaratvam. You are that Ishwaratvam. And Ishwara as manifests as a whole creation cyclically over and over again. That's your nature.
And it's over and over again. That's natural also.
That just has to do with the nature of Ishwara.
There's no effort.
There's no effort. There's no effort. Ishwara doesn't have any effort.
And we're speaking from the point of view from the jiva, from the individual?
No, we're speaking from the point of view of Ishwara. Because once you realize, I am Ishwara. And so Ishwara manifests as the creation. Right? When you recognize as a jnana, you recognize yourself as the self of all beings, and this whole creation is you. That's the truth of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and this creation is cyclical. It comes into manifestation and goes out, into manifestation and goes out.
And that part is taken on faith, isn't it?
In a sense, in terms of you yourself can't have direct knowledge of the whole Ishwara Swarupa. So that you have to understand. But it's not exactly the same as faith, because there's a logical extension that it really can't be any other way. And so that is why we don't say faith. But at the same time, you say that because you can't have a vritti, a thought modification of the whole Ishwara, the whole form of Ishwara, the cyclical nature of Ishwara, and all of that. Mm-hmm. The cyclical nature can be more on faith, but not the nature of Ishwara as just being consciousness.
But could you do the cyclical nature also, like, for instance, the four seasons? or when the sun goes down and the sun rises up. That could be cyclical.
That's
birthing. And
but they use all of that as examples. They can use that as examples. Like sometimes the manifestation and resolution of Ishwara is likened to the day and night of Brahmaji, that type of thing, like waking up from the total darkness as the sun comes up. So there's that type of thing. There's another way, I'm going to stop here, but let me just say this. There's another way that this is taken that Swamiji doesn't really agree with, not because it's not true, but it's not in proper context here, because of the Ashtada means eightfold. And eightfold has just been used in the previous verse as Ashtakam, the eightfold nature of Ishwara in the manifestation. So it's referring back to the other verse. And also because Ashtada, this Punar Ashtada Parimitam, is talking about the Ishwaratvam, which you have naturally recognized yourself to be. You don't have to do anything about it. It's just because of knowledge you recognize that's your own Swarupa. So taking this as, you know, again, that the transformation that Ishwara goes through, manifestation to dissolution, is the natural way to take that. Some people, some commentators will take it like this. The state of Ishwara being Ishwara, Siddhyet Swatha, is accomplished as because of being naturally as your own nature, together with the attainment of the eight siddhis, like becoming small, becoming big, you know, the different siddhis, reading minds, whatever all the siddhis are.
Flying
and
stuff.
Yeah, flying, whatever, all the siddhis that are discussed more more in yoga. So we don't deny those siddhis, but those siddhis have to be worked for. But this can be taken as you gain knowledge, you naturally attain all of these siddhis. And that's problematic. It means because then Swamiji doesn't accept that. It's then, you know, you're gaining knowledge and then we have the same hierarchy. Okay, I have knowledge. Now, when are the siddhis going to come?
Mm.
You know? And so then that becomes as though as you gain knowledge because now you're a great Mahatma, the siddhis, as you understand yourself as Ishwara, the Jiva Upadhi will also attain all of these siddhis naturally. See what I mean?
They're kind of proof of
well, knowledge. All kinds of projections come on that, and there's no reason in the text to take it in that way. Yeah. Because they've already, this verse 10 is building off of verse 8, which is already talking about the Ashtada, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen, if you're interested, you can go to the last satsang we did with Swamiji on the homepage, where I asked Swamiji to do this verse. And he went through and did the verse because a lot of the commentators do take it like that. And so I wanted him to say what he had to say about that.
Right, is that the one we did in Sailor's Prayer where you talked about it just recently?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the last one there. Okay? Everybody okay with this?
Great.
So Dakshinamurti won't let that one go. For now.
Om
Tat Sat.